This is a podcast from WILL AM 580. To support our station, please visit www.willpledge.org. That's www.willpledge.org.
This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Wednesday, January 30th. I'm Jeff Bosser. Coming up, we'll profile the race for the 105th District House race for the first time. Republican incumbent Shane Cultura has competition. And we'll have a look at your AM 580 weather forecast for Champaign-Urbana, but first, a look at today's news. The federal government says it's likely to back out of the futuristic coal-fired power plant called Futuregen planned for Mattoon. Shauna Lee has more.
Here are the Futuregen fundamentals. The power plant was supposed to showcase the cleanest coal-burning technology, and it was supposed to create thousands of Illinois construction jobs. So it was news when the coal industry selected Mattoon as Futuregen's home. That was in December. Department of Energy spokesperson Julie Ruggiero says the Coal Industry Alliance jumped the gun.
The department had requested that the alliance hold off and let the department more fully evaluate the Futuregen project and its next steps. And, you know, it was really disappointing. The alliance chose to unilaterally announce site selection without the department having issued a record of decision.
Ruggiero says Futuregen had grown too costly. She says it swelled to nearly $1.8 billion. The government says it will rework its clean coal research program, but it won't say whether Illinois will play a part. I'm Sean Alvey.
Meanwhile, U.S. Senator Dick Durbin called the DOA's decision a cruel deception, but says the state won't go down without a fight. He notes the final say must be made by President Bush, who referred to critical technology research in a State of the Union address on Monday. State Senator Dale Reiner of Mattoon says it's foolish for the Energy Department to abandon the Futuregen project now.
We can keep putting this off if we want, but it's just going to be more expensive later. And so that's, I hope, at least in part, the message that our congressional delegation, including our two U.S. senators and our members of the United States House of Representatives, will send to the White House in the next day or so. And that is, you know, you made a commitment, keep the commitment. We're going to have to do this sooner or later, so let's do it now after all these years of work have been put in.
Reiner says plans for the facility are essentially dead without the Department of Energy's participation. Last month, the Futuregen Alliance selected Mattoon as the site for the plant, beating out two cities in Texas. Urbana Congressman Tim Johnson, who called Tuesday's actions the worst form of bureaucratic arrogance and insensitivity he'd seen through all his years in government. Johnson says one can only speculate on where we'd be today if one of the sites in Texas had been chosen for the plant. A well-connected political fundraiser is in jail and will stay there until his trial starts at the end of February. Robert Wildebohr has more.
Tony Rezko had been free for more than a year on a $2 million bond. But prosecutors got nervous when they learned the indicted businessman had gotten a $3.5 million loan last spring from a business partner overseas. They arrested him Monday, and a federal judge agrees that Rezko has the motive and certainly the means to flee, so she's keeping him in jail. Defense attorney Joe Duffy says he and Rezko have been spending all day, every day, trying to go through the thousands of documents that are part of the case. And he pleaded with the judge, saying, quote, "I cannot give him his constitutional defense if he is detained." The judge said she'll keep Rezko at a detention facility downtown Chicago to make it easy for attorneys to meet with him. I'm Robert Wildebohr.
Barack Obama's campaign announced last night that it's giving to charity more than $70,000 in contributions linked to Rezko. His connections to Obama have created a distraction and raised questions about the presidential candidate's judgment. A line of severe thunderstorms packing wind gusts up to 80 miles per hour last night raced across much of Indiana, killing three people. Firefighters pulled two bodies from a mobile home last night near Poseyville in southwestern Indiana. The coroner identified the dead as 83-year-old Catherine Mason and her 57-year-old daughter Donna Faison. State police say wind and heavy rain may have also been a factor in a fatal crash in New Albany. The head-on collision killed 41-year-old Charles Ennis of New Albany. The National Weather Service issued tornado warnings as the storms passed through the state. Residents reported seeing a funnel cloud before winds tore the roof off of a house southwest of Danville, Indiana, about 6:30 p.m. In Martinsville, the roof of the Morgan County Courthouse was damaged. Indiana's Senate has approved a constitutional amendment to ban same-sex marriage. The Senate voted 39-9 in favor of the resolution yesterday, with supporters saying the issue should be left to voters, not courts. Opponents say the amendment is not needed. Democrat Scott Peleth of Michigan City, chairman of the House Rules Committee, has said he won't give it a hearing. And House Speaker Patrick Bauer has said repeatedly that same-sex marriages are already banned under Indiana law and that he doesn't know of any gay marriages in the state. Supporters want lawmakers to pass the measure this year so it can be on the ballot in 2010. Time zones are still an issue in Indiana's General Assembly. The House has passed a bill to allow people in counties bordering the lines between central and eastern time zones to vote on which zone they would rather be in. The question would be placed on the ballot in the next general election or possibly in a special election if 2% of people who voted in the last election wanted it on the ballot. If most voters want to switch, county commissioners would have to petition the federal government seeking a change. The bill was approved 54-42 yesterday and now moves to the Senate. Former Illinois Governor Jim Thompson won't shed any light on the mounting legal bills of one of his law firm's most high-profile clients, current Governor Rod Blagojevich. New documents show Blagojevich has racked up more than $2 million in attorney fees. Sean Crawford has more.
Thompson's firm Winston & Strawn has been doing some hefty billing to Blagojevich, but Thompson says it would be inappropriate to talk about any activity done on behalf of the governor.
All I can say is that Governor Blagojevich's campaign fund has been represented by some of the partners at my firm, but we represent a lot of people.
Among those people, another former governor, George Ryan, who wound up going to prison for corruption. Rod Blagojevich refuses to say why his legal costs are rising, although most speculate it's in relation to an ongoing federal probe of his administration. Published reports have tabbed Blagojevich as the anonymous public official A in court records that detail alleged state government hiring fraud. I'm Sean Crawford.
For the latest newscast online, go to will.illinois.edu/news. This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. I'm Jeff Bossert. Shane Cultra is seeking his fourth term as state representative for East Central Illinois' 105th District. But for the first time, the Onaga Republican has some competition. Champaign School Board President David Tomlinson hopes to defeat Cultura in the upcoming Republican primary. And in this Illinois House district, the Republican nominee is considered the likely winner in November. AM 580's Jim Meadows reports.
The 105th House District covers parts of Champaign and Pontiac, plenty of farmland, and 52 small towns, each with fewer than 6,000 people. Cullum has fewer than 600, and that's where Shane Cultura is on a frigid Saturday attending a candidates forum.
It is my privilege as mayor to welcome you to this forum, and it is my pleasure as a member of Women's Club who is sponsoring this event.
Cultura uses his three-minute opening statement to remind the small gathering that he's one of them.
When I first decided about running for this position, I looked at the district and I realized that the majority of the district was small towns just like I'd lived in all my life. I've lived in Onarga for 57 years.
The women's club that organized the forum in Cullum didn't invite Cultura's opponent, Dave Tomlinson. One organizer said they didn't know how to contact him. But a few days later, Tomlinson was campaigning in Paxton, saying that it wasn't him but Cultura who's hard to reach.
And that Shane Cultura is not very well known at all in Champaign nor in Iroquois County. And I said, you know, we've got to have effective legislators that work very hard in the district and very hard out of the district. And I have not seen that personally from Shane.
Tomlinson was speaking to a Paxton firefighters CPR class. And as a Champaign firefighter himself, he was clearly at home at the gathering, joking with some of the firefighters and complimenting others for their handling of the recent Majestic Theater fire. But Tomlinson says he can talk to just about anybody and says that would help him reach across the partisan divide in Springfield.
We've got to be able to work across the aisle because there are things that Republicans and Democrats can agree on. Everybody wants a capital bill to improve our roads, improve our infrastructure, and we work together in a give-and-take environment instead of the environment of, you know, they're not going to come to the table and play anyway, so why even bother?
Cultura believes chances for a new capital bill are slim this year, but he's working on legislation to address another long-shot issue, education funding reform. Cultura's bill would exempt the first $150,000 of the value of an owner-occupied home from school district property taxes, An increase in state income or sales taxes would make up the difference.
The chance of it passing are probably very minimal, but I just feel it's an important issue in this area. We had Senate Bill 750 a few years ago, Meek's bill, that wanted to do something similar, only it raised taxes a lot more than what you got in property tax reliefs. My bill is dollar for dollar. There's not going to be an increase.
In contrast to Cultra's revenue-neutral proposal, Tomlinson says he would only support legislation that actually lowered the total tax bill for property owners. He thinks that can be managed by cutting waste from the state budget and raising the income tax rate just enough to place some of the school funding burden on non-property owners. Tomlinson says he also differs from Cultra on labor issues. As a union firefighter and as president of the Champaign Unit 4 School Board, he says he understands the concerns of both labor and management.
Representative Coulter is very quick to vote no on labor issues, and pretty much all of them, actually, whether it's a pension issue or a work safety issue. And I think that as representatives of people who work for a living, that's something we need to do.
Cultra has the lowest labor voting score in the Illinois House, according to the AFL-CIO. That ranking doesn't bother Cultra, but he does seem bothered by Tomlinson's charge that the incumbent's ranking with the Illinois Farm Bureau was at low levels until last year. Cultra, who serves on the House Agriculture and Conservation Committee, says the low ranking was largely because he opposed a bill requiring rural roads to be strong enough to handle 80,000-pound truckloads.
I felt that if we were going to require heavier trucks, that it ought to come with some money to help do the roads. And there was no money in the bill, so I voted against it. And that was a heavily weighted issue in Farm Bureau, and so that hurt my rating.
Cultra and Tomlinson share many views. Both are pro-life and pro-gun owners' rights. Both would cut state spending to balance the budget and allow limited expansion of gambling to pay for a new capital projects bill. A Democratic candidate might have different views, but the Democrats haven't run anybody for the 105th House District seat since the current boundaries took effect 6 years ago. I'm Jim Meadows, AM 580 News.
In the forecast for the region, a winter storm watch is in effect from tomorrow evening through Friday morning. For today, we have mostly sunny skies, a high of 22, winds from the west up to 24 miles per hour during the morning, variable in direction, and at 6 to 12 miles an hour this afternoon, the wind chill during the morning between 10 and 20 degrees below zero. Increasing clouds this evening, the low 17, cloudy and breezy tomorrow, the high 32, cloudy and windy with snow tomorrow night. Several inches of snow will likely fall overnight. Considerable blowing and drifting snow possible, the low 25. Cloudy and windy Friday. Snow and blowing snow during the morning, mostly cloudy, with a chance of a few lingering flurries during the afternoon, the high around 30. Mostly cloudy Friday night, the low around 20, and partly sunny Saturday, the high 35. This has been the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Wednesday, January 30th. You can find podcasts of Focus 580, the afternoon magazine, agricultural programming, as well as other helpful information at our website, wyll.illinois.edu. I'm Jeff Bossert, AM 580 News.